Our scripture lesson this morning is from 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 to 14. Since the Charleston, South Carolina church killings earlier this summer, there has been a lot of discussion and controversy concerning the display of the rebel Confederate battle flag, a flag utilized during the rebellion against the United States federal government during the American Civil War, as it was known in the North, or the war between the states, as it was known in the South. But our text invites us to consider some other rebels. Absalom was the rebel son of King David, a prince who struck back at his father's love. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, the heart of this rebel is disclosed. What motivated his rebellion? Just his hidden cry of pride, "If only I were judge, I would do things better." Arrogance is the engine that drives most rebellions. It is always easy to see how we would do it until it is our time to do it. "If only I were judge, I would do it better," cried Absalom. He, of course, never lived to be king, so we have no idea how he actually would have managed. But rebels are often such shallow dreamers that they all envision is grandeur. Historical rebels like Lenin, Castro, or Mao thought they could improve on the status quo. Absalom thought as judge and later as king, he would improve upon the reign of his father David. To complete their dreams, rebels usually are more savage than kind. They pick the moments when the establishment is napping and they are wide awake and ready for the fight. Absalom chose to war against a father whose age and advisors had lost their taste for war. It was then that he came to test his father's stamina. Let's consider the care of his father David. But never mind the son. What was the father doing? Did he rage and rail against his self-serving son? Did he want to crush him in the coils of war, of hate, and destruction? Hardly. As the soldiers left King David, he whispered to his high general Joab, "Deal gently with the young man Absalom, for my sake, no matter his hostility, only answer him in love." 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, a paraphrase. "Yes, be gentle, Joab," cried the weeping king. Joab curled his lip against the rebel and moved out to lead the army. Can you imagine those helmets, how they caught the sun? The king cried over the battlements in a voice made faint by iron rims on cobblestone and winding dusty distance. "Be gentle, Joab." What David really cried was, "Every rebel is loved." But his cry was swallowed up by Absalom's self-concern. Thus the tragedy is formed. The rebel must pay. And who are we? In what ways are we like Absalom? Christ entered this painful world, and if we desire to help Christ with his rescue plans, we must go with him and enter the world beyond this sanctuary. We must carry out a conquest of love with our loving commander leading. But some Christians are sort of stay-at-home envoys. They would rather do evangelism where almost no one is lost inside the four walls of a church. Or they might sing many verses of "Just As I Am" for perhaps some struggling children who may be standing in the pew. At last, those children may come forward for prayer, saving not just their little souls, but a church's evangelical reputation. Yes, children are precious to God, but are they the only opportunity for evangelistic outreach? Are there other rebels? Is there not someone not already wooed by a gospel cable network? Is there not a genuine non-cable watching sinner not traumatized by overexposure? A macho sinner with a pornography addiction? A third wife? A four martini per day aroma about him? What of these Class A renegades? These lost forever rebels. Some of you are aware this past week on the radio they indicated that if present trends continue, there will be 40,000 traffic deaths in our nation this year. And we all know that approximately one half of all traffic deaths are caused by drunk drivers. Or perhaps some of you heard of the other projection this year, that if the rates continue by the end of the year, there will be 40,000 people die from heroin overdoses. Where are the rebels? How did we miss them? Why? They are all around our congregations, yet seldom come inside them. Between drinks, they are often sober enough to answer the doorbell, and we would hope they would ask the question, "What must we do to be saved?" if anyone goes there to ask. Are there really two evangelistic questions? I know some of you have been trained in personal evangelism, and perhaps the first question should be, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? But maybe there's a better first question. Maybe we should ask, how are you? How are you? Few plans of personal evangelism teach us to ask three questions instead of only two. But those who care could begin by asking, how are you? And after the how are you, how are your wife and your children? Yes, simply and lovely words can show how much we care. Have you heard the cliche, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care? Rebel catching is rarely done by mere clever verbal semantics. Have we wasted too much time trying to question and answer people into the kingdom of God? Maybe we ought to try more showing individuals how we really care about them. Yes, rebels really ask for assistance. Rebels rarely ask for rescue. Yet there is something inside them that cries out for it. Do you not believe that some of Absalom longed for his father? In his mind and only in his mind would he help seize the royal palace and kill his father. In his heart, could there be a yearning to embrace the very father his mind would kill? Rebels always have two forces tearing their insides out. They want to fight, and yet they want to be loved. Can you not remember that awful struggle of your rebel heart against God? You fought against him as he tried to lift you from your sin, yet you reached for his embrace. You did not want God, yet at the same time, you wanted all of God that you could hold. We are Christians. Yes, we're Christians. We're called little Christs, little rescuers of a sinking world. But how do they tell us they are sinking? How do they cry out to us? By ignoring us? They speak their needs in hidden phrases. Listen to their crying hearts and know their self-protective rhetoric. You may ask the question, if you died today, would you? And here are some representative responses that you might receive. Please, I think my spiritual life is a very personal thing. I never discuss religion. I'm quite happy at the church I never go to. I'm a member of a congregation, you know, thoroughbred, registered, papers and all. I gave my heart to a Sunday school teacher when I was 10. It is enough. I send money to a television preacher. I don't believe in organized religion. Still, there is something to this question and answer business. People are there longing for the encounter. These needy rebels need love, and we can demonstrate God's love in Christ Jesus as we share the word of saving faith. I believe that apathy is the great sin of too many congregations. If there was anything that Absalom prided himself on, it was his hair. You see, rebels sometimes have a way of wearing their hair a little different. If the style is long hair, they get their heads shaved. If the style is short hair, they wear it long. The key thing is just they don't want to look like the majority. Can you imagine back in David's palace? David's cabinet probably protested. Most of the time when they passed Absalom in the corridors of the palace and Absalom said the word shalom, which means peace, they possibly said back in a strong Hebrew imperative, galich, which being interpreted is, go out and get a haircut, you wild kid. Absalom probably got a little tired of hearing the term glitch too often. It probably amazed King David that no one saw Absalom's finer points. He was a child of God, yet he was unaccepted, ridiculed, and a social outcast. His very name, Absalom, meant father of peace. Maybe King David never noticed how long his hair was. Yes, God loves those who we feel are so different. God loved Absalom from the womb, and so it is with all rebels. I wonder what happens when rebels fail. Absalom's day ended in a tangled scheme. He was hanging by his hair in an oak tree. Look at your bulletin. Look at the front of the bulletin and see that picture. His rebellion was now dreamless. When Joab listened, perhaps the very breezes whispered the old king's words, "Be gentle, Joab." But Joab took three spears and drove them through Absalom's heart, and the rebel died. He was dead, caught in the tangled thickets of his lost dreams. But the rebel was not the only thing that died. Along with them died the major part of an old man's heart. And as each messenger came, David asked again, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz was sure they had won the battle. But that is not what the old man wanted to know. A Cushite came in at last to tell the rebel's final tale. "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm be like that young man." That's found in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 32. Yes, David wept and grieved for his son Absalom. God too grieves today the loss of rebels. Apathy. Who comforts a king when a rebel dies? No one does that very well. They saw only the rebel's long hair and remembered his taunts. But not the king, he wept. Apathy. It may bake casseroles for church meals, and I know how we enjoy those church meals. But if we only bake casseroles for church meals while spiritual battles are raging, we are failed to realize there's a spiritual war going on. How many congregations cry for rebels? Few seminaries cry for rebels. Only Jesus cries. For the rebels are lost, perished and gone. Not just lost, but hanging in the tangled thickets of life. Trying in their last moments to make meaning of it all. Waiting for a kinder Joab who can weep with David. We sometimes shoot our wounded too as Christians, Joab-like, as they struggle in the forests of life. Yes, drinking and drugging, the oncologist's office, broken marriages, the violence in the cities, the deterioration of the suburbs, the countryside. Jesus weeps and still shouts out, "Go into all the world. Please care. Take me, the living Christ, and get to the hurting individuals. For they hang by the millions, dying in tangled woods with tangled minds. We can clear the thickets. We must tell each hurting and lost person about God's extravagant grace, and we must tell them that God offers every rebel, in the words of this poem, more sky than he can see, more seas than he can sail, more sun than he can bear to watch, more stars than he can scale, more breath than he can breathe, more yield than he can sow, more grace than he can comprehend, more love than he can know. Our concluding hymn today is number 221, "Love Lifted Me," and we will sing the first and the last verses.